In Mark chapter 6, there is a story that I think we have heard before, as is often the case. And it has something very special for us today. It helps us give some thought to this prayer that the choir has led us in and we've sung. And so hear the word of God from Mark chapter 6. Now, King Herod heard about all this because Jesus' reputation spread everywhere. And some people were saying, John the Baptist has come back to life. That's why he has this power to perform miracles. And others, however, said, he's Elijah. And others said, he's a prophet, like one of the prophets of long ago. And when King Herod heard it, he said, he is John the Baptist. I had his head cut off, but he's come back to life. And Herod himself had ordered John's arrest, and he had him tied up and put in prison. And Herod did this because of Herodias, whom he had married, even though she was the wife of his brother Philip. And John the Baptist kept telling Herod, it isn't right for you to marry your brother's wife. And so Herodias held a grudge against John and wanted to kill him, but she could not because of Herod. Herod was afraid of John because he knew that John was a good and holy man, and so he kept him safe. He liked to listen to him, even though he became greatly disturbed every time he heard him. Finally, Herodias got her chance. It was on Herod's birthday, and he gave a feast for all the top government officials, the military chiefs, and the leading citizens of Galilee. The daughter of Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and his guests. And so the king said to the girl, what would you like to have? I will give you anything you want. With many vows, he said to her, I swear that I will give you anything you ask for, even as much as half my kingdom. And so the girl went out and asked her mother, what should I ask for? The head of John the Baptist, she answered. The girl hurried back at once to the king and demanded, I want you to give me here and now the head of John the Baptist on a plate. This made the king very sad because he could not refuse her because of the vows he'd made in front of all his guests. And so he sent off a guard at once with orders to bring John's head. And the guard left and went to the prison and cut John's head off. And then he brought it on a plate and gave it to the girl, who gave it to her mother. When John's disciples heard about this, they came and got his body and buried it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
There's always a risk in reaching for heaven. There's always a risk in seeking to do justice and love mercy and walking humbly with God. There's always a risk. There's always a risk when we seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, just as Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. There's always a risk. Sometimes in our youth, or in our search for abundant life, or in our remaining days, we make a decision. We get out of a comfortable chair and we do something that seeks to love our neighbors, ourselves. We try and make a difference. And the decision fills our lungs. It gives us a different perspective on life. It reminds us that we count for something. It speaks against the criticism that we're good for nothing. We do something. We get involved in a way beyond what we're familiar. We should know that there's a risk in reach. There's a risk in reaching for what is right and good and true. And it is appropriate this morning that we remember John the Baptizer came on the scene preaching change, a change of heart, a change of mind, a change of behavior. He came preaching repentance.
He came as the forerunner to the Messiah. He came pointing the way to Jesus. He prepared a highway for God in the desert. This morning we examine John the Baptizer and the message that he offers in this particular story. And it is a message for those who are complacent and cynical about the church. For those armchair generals who would make fun of people like you and me and claim us as do-gooders, that what we do doesn't really matter. Our good deeds, our good works, our hopes for putting our faith into action. It's a message that I think speaks to part in all of us when we refuse to do something that we've never done before. Well, just now we are beginning a process as a congregation of listening to the world around us. We're listening for the cries of hurting people. We're trying to discern what it is that's breaking God's heart in the greater Huntersville area. Or maybe in the greater Charlotte-Mecklenburg area, in this part of the world. Or maybe in some other part of the world. We're seeking a way for you and me to make a difference in the lives of people that we've never considered helping before. And so we need to know if the risk is worth the reach. We need to know if we would be better doing something else. We need to know if what we're doing matters at all. We need to know if we can make a difference for those about whom we care. So this is what it means to live by faith. The God who made this world has come to us in Jesus of Nazareth, and He heals the sick, and He touches people's lives, and He teaches the truth that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. And they caught Him, and they arrested Him, and they hung Him on a cross. I suspect the powers that be, the religious, were threatened by His ability to speak the truth and to embody the truth in ways that made them uncomfortable. They thought that the problem was solved, but Jesus was raised from death. And His being raised from death reminds you and me that all the truths that are tucked away in our memories and our minds and hearts are true. That we are to love God with all our heart and mind and soul and strength, and we are to love our neighbors, we love ourselves. Those kinds of truths, as we put them into effect, take courage. Also makes life complicated. And this story gets complicated. Because it is about personal sexual morality. It's about what a king does with his personal life. And somewhere in Herod's paying attention to John, the desert prophet goes from preaching to meddling. It's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Must have made the king rather embarrassed, rather uncomfortable. John wasn't afraid. John feared God. John wasn't afraid of Herod. But Herod brushes aside the commandments and takes Herodias, his brother's wife. And John calls him out on it. Speaks truth to power. And interpreting the king's sin, the king is offended. And so Herod sends his powerful soldiers on horseback. What a ridiculous image. Powerful soldiers, war horses, their hooves pounding on the earth around Jericho. A company of soldiers on their war horses going to find a desert prophet in animal skins. And they surround him and they arrest him. and they bind him and they take him to a secure prison. There's a risk in reach. There's always been a risk in reaching for heaven for what God wants us to do. There's always a risk. John's witness matters to us now that we are considering doing things we may have done before, may never done before. John's witness is a bold one. His convictions may not be as anchored for him as we might like, but his actions are. He embodies the call to repentance. He embodies what he preaches. And when the king of the land violates the law of God, he says so. He calls the king to task for his disobedience. Now, you and I need this witness. We need John's witness. We need his courage and his conviction. For you and I will have decisions to make about how we live out what we say we believe. The faith we hold dear is a faith that asks us to put ourselves on the line for somebody. For the marginalized, for the poor, for the forgotten, for the lonely, for those who hurt. You should know this by now. To know this is to take seriously the call of Jesus Christ. But this is not our story this morning. Our story this morning is the perfume of Herodias' daughter. She's a lovely teenage young woman. And she slips into the back of the tent. It is Herod's birthday, and all the officials are there. And she comes to the party to offer a dance. And the drums start beating, and the stringed instruments get played, and she begins to swivel through the room. And it is embarrassing for some and mesmerizing for the king. He cannot keep his eyes off her as she moves. In fact, he takes her breath away. And when her dance is done, he makes a fool of himself. He really makes a fool of himself. "Ask me whatever you want, and I will give it to you, even half my kingdom." He's going crazy. He can hardly breathe. And the girl goes out of the tent for a while. And then she comes back and asks for the head of John the Baptizer. Now, John is our hero. John is the forerunner for the Messiah. John points the way to the Savior of the world. Though Herod is saddened, he realizes now of his own silliness, but he tells his men to comply. And so the men do their work very quickly. John is taken out of the prison and beheaded out under the sun like some victim of ISIS in the Syrian desert. And the guards bring John's head to the party on a tray, and everyone can see it, though some don't look. And the guards give it to the girl, and the girl gives it to her mother, Herodias. It is a nasty thing. And when John's followers get word, they go to the prison for his body, and they place it reverently, after a brief service, in a tomb. There's always a risk of reach. Always. And before we go out there doing anything, you and I should know this. But as someone said to me recently, you have to have some skin in the game if this matters. There has to be some skin in this game. Are you simply going to sit there and think, this is what faith is about? Is this all faith is about? We simply sit still in our comfortable chairs and think that this is what our Savior is asking of us? Some might say it is crazy to spend an evening studying the Bible. Some might say it is a waste of time to hold the hands of old people whose lives are over. Some people might say they have better things to do than to tutor children in their reading. Some might say they would rather be golfing than visit a man in prison. Some might say it is a waste of time to help those who misuse their resources, those who are poor. Some might say it is silly to teach biblical truths to teenagers. They're not going to pay attention to any of it anyway, so why bother? Some might say they would rather play a good, solid hand of poker than help a single mother with children. She did it to herself anyway. Why should I try to help someone like her? Now, some say that doing these kinds of things are impossible. They're dreams. It's a dream to think that doing good deeds will help anyone. It's a dream, an impossible dream. Did you ever see that movie? The movie I'm talking about is a version of the great Spanish epic by Cervantes, Don Quixote. Do you remember the song in the movie, Man of La Mancha? To dream the impossible dream. To fight the unbeatable foe. To bear with unbearable sorrow. To run where the brave dare not go. To right the unrightable wrong. To love pure and chaste from afar. To try when your arms are too weary. To reach the unreachable star. But this star is not unreachable. The effort we seek to make is possible. God has given you and me gifts to use to reach out to a hurting world. Go out there and look at that wall in the atrium, because there are brothers and sisters. There are many of your faces, and we're identifying our gifts, things that God has given us to make a difference in this world. John the Baptizer speaks to you and me beyond this present time, and he assures us the rightness of our challenge. There are people hurting in this world, and there are some who are too cynical and too burned out and too wary and too doubtful and too unbelieving to consider that anything we do will ever be helpful, and we need to learn what they believe is not true. Because someone has helped us. Someone has taught us. Someone has stood by us. Someone has cared for us. Someone has given himself for us. And so you and I love because he loved us first. There's a risk in that, because there's a risk in reach. And this is what John tells us today. And he assures us, whatever the risk of whatever you're seeking to do to reach out to a hurting world, it is worth the reach that God makes possible in and through you and me to make a difference by God's grace for a hurting world. The risk of reach. Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, we pause here in the silence of this worship center. We have prayed, change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. May we be like you. This day we're grateful for the testimony of John the Baptizer. We're grateful for his courage and his conviction. And we recognize, as we take seriously your call to service, that we may learn to draw strength from him. We thank you for his strength and for his faith and his courage. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.